Meeting with the Kumaras, text number 57. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Om Namo
Durhashash,
Durhashash,
Tejas Savagnir,
Mohendra,
Eva, Durjaya, Titikshaya, Taditriva, Dyo,
Eva
Vishta,
Dyo,
Niranam, Durharashas Tejasavagnir Mahindra Eva Durjaya Titikshaya Taritriva Yaiva Vishtado Nirnam Durharas Tejasavagnir Mahendra Eva Durjaya Tikshaya Daritripa Yori Vavishta Doninam Durharas Teja Savagnir Mahendra Eva Durjaya Tikshaya Daritripa Harshaha, unconquerable, Tejas, by prowess, Eva, like, Agni, fire, Maha Indra, the King of Heaven, Eva, likened, Durjaya, insuperable, Titikshaya, by tolerance. Daritri, the earth, Eva, like, Dyao, the heavenly planets, Eva, like, Abhishtadha, fulfilling desires, Niranam, of human society, translation. And purple by His Divine Grace, the Bhajaranada Vinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Maharaj Prithu was so strong and powerful that no one else could disobey his orders any more than one could control or could conquer fire itself. He was so strong that he was compared to Indra, the king of heaven, whose power is insuperable. On the other hand, Maharaj Prithu was also as tolerant as the earth, and in fulfilling desires of human society, he was like heaven itself. Please repeat. Maharaj Prithu was so strong
and powerful
that no one could disobey his orders
any more than
one could conquer fire itself.
He was so strong
that he was compared to Indra,
the king of heaven,
whose power is insuperable.
On the other hand,
Maharaj Prithu
was also as tolerant as the earth.
And in fulfilling various desires
of human society,
he was like heaven itself.
Purport.
It is the duty of a king to give protection to the citizens and fulfill their desires. At the same time, the citizens must obey the laws of the state. Maharaj Prithu maintained all the standards of good government, and he was so invincible that no one could disobey his orders any more than a person could stop heat and light emanating from a fire. He was so strong and powerful that he was compared to the king of heaven, Indra. In this age, modern scientists have been experimenting with nuclear weapons, and in a former age also they used to release brahmastras. But all these brahmastras and nuclear weapons are insignificant compared to the thunderbolt of the king of heaven. When Indra releases a thunderbolt, even the biggest hills and mountains crack. On the other hand, Maharaj Prithu was as tolerant as the earth itself, and he fulfilled all the desires of his citizens, just like torrents of rain from the sky. Without rainfall, it is not possible to fulfill one's various desires on this planet. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 3.14, Prajanyat anashambhava. Food grains are produced only because rain falls from the sky. And without grains, no one on the earth can be satisfied. Consequently, an unlimited distribution of mercy is compared to the water falling from the clouds. Maharaj Prithu distributed his mercy incessantly, much like rainfall. In other words, Maharaj Prithu was softer than a rose flower and harder than a thunderbolt. In this way, he ruled over his kingdom. Om Agyant Mirandasya Chananjanan Shalakayo Takshuran Minitandi Matasmayashu Jaya Shri Krishna Jaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vashati Paura Bhaktivedanta Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, this is a reading about Maharaj Prithu's management of the earth planet during his kingdom. So there are many examples given in Bhagavatam of great kings, great rulers, because the king is, he's God on earth. He's a representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And because he has so much power, then he's a natural leader. So therefore, the king is empowered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead to make the citizens Krishna conscious. So this is the duty of a king. His first business is to protect all the citizens. And as it says here, he has to fulfill their desires, so they'll become happy. He has to protect them from unwanted rogues, thieves, etc. Then the people are happy. When they feel protected, they're happy. And when their desires are fulfilled, they're even more happy. So this is the duty of a king. So he has a very big responsibility, because a kingdom means there's all types of people, all types of desires, but still he should be so expert, he should know how to fulfill all those desires. And we see from the Bhagavatam how great kings like Prithviraj, Ramchandra, they used to fulfill all the desires of the citizens. So there it explains that it's just like heaven itself, a shower from heaven. They had all their desires fulfilled. So here is Prabhupada talking in the purport about the offerings of sacrifice. He quotes Bhagavad Gita that how all creatures, they arise from food. If we don't have food, we don't get any body. So the body is made of food. We eat the food and the body. So the bodies are coming from food, and the foods, the grains arise from rain. Without the rainfall, there is no growth, there is no grains. And the rains are dependent on sacrifice. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, but be thou happy by this sacrifice. The men, they worship the different devas, etc. And have their desires, because they worship the demigods, they offer some sacrifice, the demigods are happy. Okay. So you please me, I'll please you. So then they send all the necessities to earth through the process of sacrifice. So sacrifices are coming from prescribed duties, the duties that are mentioned in the Vedas. So people are obliged to follow these prescribed duties. And the Vedas are emanating from the Lord. They're the breathing of the Lord. He emanates the Vedas from it. So this is the cyclic movement of the universe. Persons do their prescribed duties. The king makes sure everyone's doing their prescribed duties, which is sacrifice, which in turn brings rain, which in turn brings the grains, then they can eat and be satisfied. And so the whole universe is going on like this. The humans are satisfying the demigods, and the demigods are satisfying the humans and the whole universe. They're distributing the aid, light, water, whatever we need, whatever facilities. So this is all coming by the mercy of the demigods. So this is a process set up by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So if it breaks down or it stops, or people don't sacrifice anymore, then everything gets out of order. The demigods, why we should give something for them? You know, they're not giving us anything, they're not performing their prescribed duties, why we should? This was earlier on in this chapter when Prithu Maharaj was chastising the earth. She made that complaint. Why should I give? Why would I give? Why shouldn't I give grains? Nobody's doing sacrifice anymore. Actually, it's your fault. You're the king. You should make sure they're doing their prescribed duties. You're trying to kill me and blame me for not producing. But actually, they're not doing their duty. They're not performing sacrifice. That's the problem. You're the king, and you're supposed to make sure everyone's doing his duty. So then Prithu Maharaj went out and set everything straight. He chastised all the demons. So he made sure everyone was doing their prescribed duties. And then everything flourished nicely. So this is practical. Unfortunately today, we've forgotten this system of sacrificing. So Prithu Maharaj also mentioned earlier on the chapters how Prithu Maharaj ruled these citizens. First, he made them understand that the food come from rains come from sacrifice comes from performing prescribed duties. Prescribed duties come from the Vedas. The Vedas come from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is the system. So you do everything to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now you don't have to change anything. You can stay where you are because you're all citizens of this of this our country. You stay where you are, but you just do everything, do what you're doing, but with the understanding that it's all meant for Krishna. It's, ultimately, it comes from Him. The Vedas, the instructions come from Him. It's His breathing. They come out as the Vedas, and then the Vedas tell us of our prescribed duties, and the performance of that, then sacrifice and the grains will come. So do what you're doing in your different Varnas and Ashramas. You don't have to change anything. But you simply have to recognize the Supreme Personality of Godhead in all of your activities. So this is how the king was ruling his subjects. So he protected them, made sure they got food by prescribing their duties. He fulfilled their different desires, and also he made them Krishna conscious, which is the main thing. So this is the an ideal king. So therefore, the Bhagavatam is telling many stories of ideal kings, because they can establish, you know, the proper way to act. When you have some powerful person, then he can enforce it. He was like a thunderbolt, stronger than a thunderbolt, like Yamaraj. No one could stand in front of him, like fire. You cannot keep the heat and light from fire. So Prithu was like that. He's very, very powerful. No one could stand in front of him. So now what about people? There's all different types of people. Some will follow prescribed. So what about people who don't want to follow prescribed duties? Uncivilized people. What about them? They're all part. Then Prithu Maharaj says, no, if you don't want to follow the citizens, you get out of my country. You go to another country, you leave the country. You can have any mentality you like. But in my country, if you want to stay in my country under my protection, then this is what you've got to do. You've got to become devotee. Otherwise, yeah, this was the system. Because this is the training of Aryans. Just like in the Vedic. In Vedic Judiciary's time, it was an Aryan culture, it flourished here. So the Yavanas, Malachas, and everyone, they were living outside. They were in his kingdom, but nobody even bothered to go there. They wouldn't even bother to go to America or England or Europe. Kind of low class people. People were not following proper culture there. So yeah, you can have any mentality you like, but if you want to stay in my kingdom, you get out. You go to the outskirts, go to the wherever you go. You live in the jungles. If the king was doing his duty, who wouldn't want to follow it? If you got everything that you needed and all your desires were fulfilled, so why not follow the king's instructions? So, at least do sacrifice, it'll save you from food scarcity. So that much everybody should, otherwise there'll be scarcity. And as the Kali Yuga goes on, it gets very, very scarce. It's very scarce. There's no fruits, there's no milk, there's no subjects even. Everyone goes back to eating meat. This is after the golden era of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, 2,000 years. But it gets very, very degraded again, and the earth just doesn't give. Prabhupada said there'd be no fruits, no milk. So to save from scarcity, jagna should be formed, especially Sankirtana jagna. That will bring the rains and the grains. Of course, if it rains something much more than grains, it rains the showers of love of Godhead by the Sankirtana jagna. There was a drought once in Hyderabad. Who was that? Mamsa? He was in charge there. Anyway, there's a big drought, and they said, now we're going to we'll perform Harinam Sankirtan, because the government were really in anxiety. They hadn't had for years for rain in their country. It was drying up. So I'm not sure. Anyway, the devotee in charge there, he said, okay, we'll have a Sankirtan Jagannath and we'll bring rain. So he advertised it. This is how you get rain. And said, so he influenced all the important people in government and things like that. I said, okay, so you can have this Jagannath. And they invited everyone to come. And the day before, he thought, but suppose the rain doesn't come? Then everyone's going to be turned away. If you chanted the holy name, it doesn't work. What good is that? Where is the power of your Lord? Where is the power of the holy name, you were saying? It doesn't work. Then they'll become atheistic, or they'll neglect the Lord or forget, saying he's not potent to do it. And the process of Sankirtan Jagannath is bogus. It's not giving the result. Of course, it's not really meant for fruitive results, but anyway. So then the devotee, he was in complete anxiety. I don't know what to do. So the day before, he said, okay, we'll cancel. So he cancelled everything. That night he had a dream, and he woke up, or he didn't wake up, he was dreaming, and the earth was rocking. And then he saw a figure coming, and it was huge. He became a big giant figure, and it was Hanuman. He said, I'm bringing the rain. I'm bringing the rain with me. And he woke up in the morning. He said, the Jagannath's on, the Jagannath's on. Come on, get it going, get it going. He invited everybody back. It poured down with rain. It just poured and poured down with rain. Sankirtan Jagannath ki. So that was a practical example there. Not that we should actually perform Sankirtan Jagannath for fruitive results or anything like that. But anyway, it did work. It was practical. Another practical thing was 72. They had a big panda program in Delhi, Connaught Circus, the center of Delhi, New Delhi. And that was the time when the Indian Bangladesh war broke out. And it didn't last long. It only lasted about a week, and Bangladesh, they got flattened. Like the Indians. And they got flattened. And actually, Indira Gandhi was going to move in there and take over Pakistan again. Bangladesh or Pakistan? Anyway, she was going to move in and take it over. But then somehow the American president gave her heart. No, you shouldn't occupy their country. You shouldn't. But she was all ready to move in. But anyway, when that war was over, about 7 days, but it was the same time when Prabhupada was having a big panel program in Delhi. And all the devotees were there, and they're doing Harinam every day. And Prabhupada said, you see, because we're performing the Sankirtan Jagannath for the age of Kali in the center of Delhi, because all the parliament are in that area as well. And they're all there having their meetings, and naturally the war's going on, everyone is intensified meetings and things like that. So all the leaders were there, and he said, we were having a Sankirtan Jagannath right in the middle of the Connaught Circus, in the middle of Delhi. He said, therefore India won the war. Easy. Only because of our Sankirtan. But Prabhupada credited to the chanting of Hare Krishna, the performing the Sankirtan Jagannath protected them from made it as a white, as a, what do you call it, sweep over. Very easily they stop the forces. So and Prabhupada gave another example. There was some kind of famine. He said it may have been artificially produced by the British Raj, something like that. They held back the rice so, and they can control and put up prices, but I think there may have been some political reason behind it. Anyway, they created an artificial famine, so everyone was starving. And that was the whole thing. Everything was food. Where is food? Anamaya consciousness and all the newspapers, all the government were talking about it, what are we going to do, how are we going to feed? And Prabhupada said, you know, everywhere I went, I didn't see any shortage. He said, I go to devotees' houses. Whenever I went, he said, there was no shortage there. And I went to the Gaudiya Mart, this is when Prabhupada was in his grihastha. I went to the Gaudiya Mart and I said, you having a problem getting food? They said, no problem. We don't have any problem getting our rice. We're just doing the same thing, going out preaching. There's plenty of rice, we don't have any problem. And Prabhupada said, in my experience, I didn't experience any devotees were short, but the rest of the India was, or at least Bengal, they were jumping up and down saying that we've got no food and people are marching and protesting. But Prabhupada, in my experience, I didn't see anyone who was a devotee who was actually suffering from that drought, from the famine. So, these are evidence that actually it does work. So, of course, Maharaj Prithu is an extraordinary person. He didn't take an ordinary birth. You know, he was churned from the body of King Vena, blessed by the Brahmanas and things like that. So it's a very extraordinary birth he has. So he was, of course, he didn't perform any austerities, like we'll see later on. In the next chapter, he did awful, severe austerities. Generally, we see the kings and everything. At least they'd start off doing some austerity. But Prithu Maharaj, we had that extraordinary birth. But he finishes off doing very, very austere penances, very austere, like Dhruva Maharaj, practically. But while he was a king, he was together, really, spiritually and materially. He had it together. Generally, you know, some spiritualists, they go to some seclusion like that and become perfect. But they'll, like, leave anything material. They go to a holy place, some lonely place where they only have association with devotees or transcendentalists and for them, they won't entertain anything material. So that's great. They get their perfection. But Prithu Maharaj, he was spiritually together and materially together. Well, this is a very good qualification. If you can get two things going, this is what we need in this family. The temple president should be. He should be spiritually together and materially together. So it's, either you know, people are one or the other, but we. Prithu Maharaj is setting an example, it should be both. And we're reading how he's spiritually perfect. He's here, he had the darshan of Vishnu here. Practically, he was self realized devotee. Plus, he knew that he was the desires of the Lord, so he was running his kingdom according to the desires of the Lord. That was his only business, actually, to serve Krishna. So he was in no illusion. So he's spiritually together. Now he's materially together, telling everyone else to do their duties. And everything is becoming very prosperous. And so simultaneously he's also making others Krishna conscious, and he's looking after the material desires. If you want to be happy, then this is how you do it, according to the Vedas. You may have your idea how you're going to get happiness in this world, but you get more happiness if you do it the Vedic way. So Krishna designed it like that. This is Krishna's program. If you want to be happy, you do it my way. Because in my way, the way I do it, generally people, they're going to the Lord, they want happiness, but generally they're all in passion and ignorance. So they'll invent some process to get their happiness, but in passion and ignorance, which Krishna says ends in madness or distress. So Prithu Maharaj says, you do it the way that the Lord wants you to do, according to the Vedic injunctions, then you'll be able to come, even though you may be in Tamagun, by performing this activity, you'll come to Rajagun, and then by you come to Satyagun. Then you can become Krishna conscious. So ultimately it's You'll get a greater happiness if you follow the Lord's plan rather than making their own plans. So this was Prithu Maharaj. He was simply executing the plan of Krishna, but who's doing that nowadays? And you see everything is tamo, rajas, passionate and ignorance in the world today. Because nobody is training Aryans how to believe as an Aryan. Anyway, this is the Krishna Consciousness Movement. Prabhupada was thinking like king. He's very ambitious, take over the world. He was very, very ambitious, Prabhupada. We should take over the world, have king. So he was thinking, why for the satisfaction of Krishna? That's why he wanted, because Krishna comes to deliver the pious and annihilate the miscreants. Is the purpose of the Lord's mission. So devotees are following his program. So their interest is delivering all the living entities from this world. So Prabhupada was always concerned. He was compassionate, seeing everyone suffering, and he was concerned that they should get the right thing, and this was the actual Sankirtan movement should be preached everywhere. And he was always interested in, I wanted to contact big people, materially big people, anybody influential, who could actually help to implement on a greater scale. So a king can do that. If a king, he can just, whatever he says is absolute. He can make the whole state do what he says in one day. He can just pass an order and this is how it goes. So that's great if we can get people, Krishna conscious kings like that. They can make very bold statements and change things. But simultaneously, they've got to be expert, because here, Prithu Maharaj says he fulfills everyone's desires. So like this, with people who could, they're going to eat meat, they want to take intoxication. So what's Prithu Maharaj going to say? So he's going to tell how you do it like this, you do it according to the Vedic prescriptions. And you can, and then you'll get whatever level of happiness you need, you can get it. So pretty much you have to be expert to do that. So it's not that he was a fanatical. We think, if I was king, immediately we say, no intoxication, no illicit. None of this. But you can't do that, because you're not going to satisfy all the citizens. And the citizens didn't come to this material world to become devotees. They come to imitate the Lord, and they want to enjoy it how they want to enjoy it. So you have to be very expert according to time and circumstance. Prithu Maharaj was doing it. They were satisfied with what he was doing. That means he catered for all of their desires. They said it was just like heaven. We want all these things, and we get in all these things. So this was the expertise of Prithu Maharaj. So it said there, he's hard like a thunderbolt, he was strict as anything, and simultaneously he was as soft as a rose. Alright, I'll fulfill all your desires. But you do it like this, do that, all your desires will be fulfilled. So he was very, very popular, obvious. But Prithu Maharaj, his actually only business was to serve Krishna and fulfill the desires, help to fulfill the desires of Krishna. Just like also Arjuna, he wanted something. He had desires. He desired self-satisfaction. He said, I won't be happy if I fight. That means he was desiring self-satisfaction. And he's a he desired not to fight. So then Krishna preached to him Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Ashtanga Yoga, even Bhakti Yoga, for the purpose of making Arjuna desireless. And because Arjuna was a devotee, unpretentious, Then he actually accepted and he changed his mind. He changed his decision. And he fought, he was fighting in the battle. So then he became desireless. So desirelessness means actually to satisfy Krishna's desire. It's not that we don't have any desire, but we desire to satisfy Krishna's desire rather than our own desires. Otherwise, the karmis, the jnanis, the yogis, they all desire something, and so therefore they're not satisfied. Bhukti, mukti, siddhi, kami, shakli, ashanta, they're all not peaceful. Ashanta. Because they all want something, they have desires. But the devotee, he is shanta, he is peaceful, because he also has desires, everyone has desires, but his desire is how we can satisfy Krishna's desire. So this is actually desirelessness. So therefore we see Brahmaji, Shrimati Lakshmi, Shiva, the four Kumaras, they're all leaders of the four, the Vaishnava Sampradayas. These are desireless Sampradayas, the Brahma, Rudra, Kumara, and the Lakshmi Sampradayas. These are four Sampradayas that are desireless. In other words, the devotees of the, who are devotees of the Lord, they simply want to satisfy the Lord. So they're considered great Sampradayas. And we see that Maharaj Prithu has just met these four Kumaras. They're coming from that Sampradaya. And they instructed Maharaj Prithu, so we can see he is the same, because he's heard, they instructed him, they're his gurus, and he follows his gurus' instructions. And he is, Prithu Maharaj is also desireless. And so he became a pure devotee, so that was. But now he was doing something very practical. Now, okay, that was established. He's meeting with the Lord and everything, and these beautiful prayers, and showing he was very, very elevated in consciousness. He was above the modes of material nature. He was a pure devotee. But now he's also being very, very practical. How to manage the kingdom according to to satisfy the desire of the Lord. So just like when Krishna says to Arjuna, so I've spoken Bhagavad Gita, all these things, have you heard properly? Are you? Arjuna says yes. What else can I say? My illusion is gone, I've regained my memory, my illusion is gone, now I'm ready to act. I'll give up all of my duties and all of my dharmas, and I'll surrender to you only, Krishna, completely. And then without worries, I'll completely have my complete faith and trust is in you. Now you've explained everything. Now there's no use in me following any varnashram or jnana or any other process now. So from today I'll give everything up. Now Krishna's still a little bit worried here. And he's thinking, has Arjuna really understood the meaning of desirelessness? he's saying that now I've surrendered. I have no duty to perform as a Kshatriya. This is what you've been telling me, Krishna. So now I'm surrendered to you. It means I have no duty, so I don't have to perform any Kshatriya duties. Or Krishna is also, he may be thinking, though, now I've passed out of the dense darkness of delusion. I'll become indifferent from all that's been heard and all that's to be heard, as Krishna told him earlier on. So I'll become indifferent from everything now, because now I'm Krishna conscious. I've regained my memory, so I've become different. I'm indifferent to Varnashram and all the Vedic injunctions and everything like that. So Krishna's thinking, he's a little bit worried. Is he thinking like that? Has he really understood the meaning of desirelessness? So then Krishna said, but still Arjuna, I still have a battle, we still have a battle to take place, and I really do want you to be the one who picks up, who goes out and fight and kills. Don't become too Krishna conscious, become aloof from everything. You have to maintain your duty. I want this battle to take place. So this was something like Prithu Maharaj. He was very, very expert. He knew how to stay Krishna conscious and engage in his occupational duties and engage everyone else. He's an ideal king. So this is what Prabhupada wanted to Krishna. And the devotee one time said to him, Prabhupada, he said, yes, and you can be king. And Prabhupada said, no, you be the king, I'll be the guru. Shri Prabhupada. Samavedavaktabrindaki. Jai Gaur Premanandi. Any comment? Thank you. Thank you.